The Military Times, a military-based publication, recently asked, should deported veterans be allowed to come back to America? And that article is quite timely. However, it doesn't quite go far enough, because the issue is not just veterans who have already been deported and are suffering and living abroad, but also veterans today who are suffering from conditions caused in part by their service that are on the hot seat for potentially being deported in the future. That's the subject of today's show, of today's tips and tidbits. You probably know someone, a close friend or a family member, who joined the military as a relatively carefree, relatively easygoing person. But when they returned, they struggled to adjust back to everyday life away from the combat. This situation is not uncommon to military veterans. For those who are immigrants, however, there is an added consequence that this condition can lead to their removal from the United States. In essence, the issue of immigrants in the military, immigrants who are deported, has four components that we need to discuss. First component is immigrants, for a long time in American history, have served honorably in the military. When they join the military, they are entitled to citizenship, expedited citizenship. But so often it happens that that reality never comes to fruition. Third, when these immigrants are released from active duty, some of them are suffering from physical and mental problems such as PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And then the fourth component is that many of these individuals commit crimes related in large part to their conditions. And under the current immigration laws, many of them never have a chance to fight deportation. They're on a path to automatic expulsion from the United States. So the history of immigrants goes way back. And currently, there are 500,000 immigrants, 500,000, in the United States Armed Services, serving honorably. In addition, 1.5 million enlistees right now, currently, have parents who are immigrants. So that's a contribution of 2 million people to the United States service, military service today. The biggest contributors in the sense of country of origin to the United States Armed Services today are Mexico and Philippines, both countries that are commonly referenced in negative terms by the current administration. Further, 20% of all Medal of Honor recipients in the United States for valor beyond the call of duty have been immigrants. So why do so many immigrants join the military? Primarily, if you ask one, they'll tell you they want to serve their country. In their mind, the United States is their country. They want to serve this country that has given them so much. However, it's not really their country completely until they can become a citizen. And by joining the military, they are put on a path of expedited citizenship. If they serve honorably for 1 year during peacetime, then they can apply for naturalization. That doesn't guarantee that they'll win citizenship, but it allows them to apply after 1 year. And if they meet all the other requirements, then they can become a United States citizen. during non-peacetime periods, periods of hostility, immigrants can apply for citizenship after one day of honorable service. And guess what? Right now, we're in a designated period of hostility. So anyone that joins the service today could technically, 2 days from now, apply for citizenship. That is a big plus. And it's given to immigrants for a reason, because they want to ensure the loyalty. They want to give these families some sense of protection while their loved ones are out there doing the dirty work for this country, that are engaged in battles. And the battles that many immigrants who now suffer from mental conditions have engaged in include Vietnam, Grenada, Libya, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And there's a special program for immigrants who are not yet permanent residents, but are legal non-immigrants. These are individuals such as those who might have received some temporary benefits under a program like the Temporary Protected Status Program, or under DACA for the Dreamers. They're eligible to apply for citizenship under a program known as MAVNI, the Military Accessions Vital to the National Interest Program, if they fit into one of two special needs for the government. One being that of healthcare, that they're a healthcare professional or expert, and the other being that they have special language skills. However, MAVNI has come under a lot of political attack, and the current administration right now is fighting this case in court to try to close down MAVNI. Why? Because they say it's a poorly thought out program that creates security risks for the country. Well, to date, only one individual that's been accepted into the military via the MAVNI program has been declared a security risk. Everyone else has served honorably during their time in the military. Yet the country's administration wants to kill the program. And it's my personal belief that it's because of the path to expedited citizenship. They do not want these individuals to be able to join the service and then go straight to naturalization, even though they serve honorably. So the expedited citizenship process doesn't always work out so good for individuals joining the military. Take the example of one of my recent clients. He had been in the military 25 to 30 years. He was a very high-ranking officer. He had won a lot of awards. He had all types of commendations. When he came to my office, he informed me that he had applied to become a citizen during his time in the service. Not once, not twice, but three times. And he was never deemed a citizen because his paperwork always became stagnant. It got bottlenecked somewhere. And so here he was, having left the military and still only a permanent resident, despite all that he had done for the country. We filed for citizenship under the normal channels, and he, of course, prevailed. He was an upright individual. But this should have never happened. He should have been a citizen long ago. Worse, had he come out of the service and had he had some lingering mental issues that caused him to misbehave, that caused him, perhaps he used drugs like so many military veterans suffering from mental disabilities. He could have been placed in deportation proceedings. He may have been deported. Fortunately, that didn't happen with him. But that's how it occurs. Individuals join the military. They have a chance to become a citizen. They're entitled to become a citizen under United States law. Yet for some reason, the process gets halted. They come out of the service. They're suffering from certain illnesses. And the reality is that a lot of these illnesses are not even disclosed. Studies have shown that at least 1 out of 4 individuals who come back from military service suffer from some type of mental illness or depression, and often PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Studies have shown, additionally, that about 12% of recent veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan have not yet been diagnosed that have the condition. So there is a great possibility of more individuals ending up in a similar type of situation regarding their immigration status because they were unable to become citizens during the military, and now they commit certain offenses. In most cases, these PTSD individuals have committed drug-related offenses. But under the strict laws of 1996, many drug offenses are classified as aggravated felonies under immigration law. This means that deportation is literally automatic. They have no defense that they can mount. And as a result, despite their years of service, they're stuck in a system that they can't prevail, and there's no way out. 10 years ago, it seems so long ago, I wrote about this problem. And I suggested that this country could create, Congress could create a special waiver for them, a waiver that links certain criminal offenses to their mental problems. And if it can be proven, yes, it would be a matter of proof in court. If it could be proven, then they could be allowed a waiver and allowed to remain in the United States as a permanent resident and seek citizenship. There have been some pieces of legislation over the years since that time, and they failed. But recently, 2 new ventures give hope to these veterans. One is Senate Bill 1704 by Illinois Senator Duckworth. It's called the Veterans Visa and Protection Act. And this would allow individuals in the service that have been deported to be able to return to the United States and to readjust their status or rescind their deportation order and again be granted or reinstated their permanent residency status. Individuals that would not be eligible would be those who have served 5 years or longer in prison. The waivers would be granted based on hardship, family unity, humanitarian, and other public interest and other important exceptions. They would be up to the judge, in the discretion of the judge, to weigh these factors and whether or not, and decide whether or not the waiver should be granted. A second bill is pending in Congress, H.R. 3429, and that's called Repatriate Our Patriots Act. That it classifies these individuals as special immigrants. That bill classifies deported veterans as special immigrants if they have served honorably in the United States and if their conviction does not include crimes for acts such as murder, rape, sexual abuse, or terrorist activities. These are great starts. Of course, there is the question still in both bills in terms of the disqualifying crimes. What if the crimes themselves are caused by their mental conditions. Again, it would be a matter of proof, but that's a gray area that would have to be worked out. On the whole, the legislative ideas, both of them, are very good. And Duckworth adds a companion bill. Her companion bill is for health benefits, because while these bills are pending, her thinking is that, well, if they're not granted, well, these individuals are suffering and they're living abroad, but they can't return for their medical care. Medical care, which they're guaranteed because they've been in the service, but they can't access it. So this bill would allow them to be able to come in and receive their health care and then go out, a sort of like a parole type setting, an immigration parole type setting. Well, the bigger bills are pending in Congress. So will Congress act? That's the question. Under the current administration and the current political climate, it's probably unlikely that a favorable decision will be rendered in the coming year, and maybe longer. But with enough individuals being informed about these issues, enough individuals understanding what's going on, there is a greater hope that these bills can be passed. And it's for this reason that I share these issues with you. I hope that at the end of this show, that what we've discussed today isn't just something you keep to yourself, but that you share in a broader sense with family members, friends, veterans, you know. They're important issues. They're important issues not just for immigrants, not just for deported veterans, not just for veterans, but for our entire country. Take care.